Imagine waking up, pouring your coffee, and seeing that an AI didn't just review a bug report while you slept.
Oh, that would be nice on its own, but yeah.
Right. But no, it traced the error across like 50 files, wrote the fix, staged the Git commit, and has the pull request just waiting for your approval.
Yeah, it's wild. And that is no longer science fiction, you know. Today, we're actually unpacking the reality of a tool called Claude Code.
Okay, let's unpack this because our mission for this deep dive is
Mean.
to really explore how software development is shifting. Like we are moving away from manually typing out every single line of code
Yeah.
to orchestrating this hyper-contextual AI assistant, one that lives directly inside your workflows, your tools, and like even your terminal.
Exactly. And so for our journey today, we're going to examine the fundamental mechanics of what makes an AI agentic rather than just, you know, a smart autocomplete.
Right.
We'll start by looking at how it physically integrates into your environment and why it needs such deep operating system awareness to function.
Yeah, that part is fascinating.
It really is. Then we'll break down the underlying agentic loops it uses to independently solve these complex problems. From there, we have to look at the guardrails, right? Like how it uses the model context protocol to understand the highly specific, kind of quirky rules of your proprietary code base.
Because every code base is weird.
Oh, absolutely. And finally, we'll explore the orchestration side, detailing how it actually spawns entire teams of specialized agents to work in parallel.
So let's start with that fundamental paradigm shift. Claude Code is categorized in the official documentation as an agentic coding tool.
Right.
And its core promise is that it reads your entire code base, edits files, runs commands, integrates with your existing dev tools. But I actually have to push back a little here
Okay, go for it.
because my immediate reaction when I read that is, wait, isn't this just another autocomplete tool that guesses my next line of code? Like we've had AI helping us write syntax for a while now.
Yeah, it's a supernatural comparison to make, but there's just this massive architectural gulf between autocomplete and actual agentic behavior.
Okay, how so?
So autocomplete is inherently reactive, right? And it's hyperlocal. You start typing a variable, and a model suggests the end of the word or maybe the next function call.
Right, based on the file I have open.
Exactly. It's based solely on the immediate context of that single file. It's essentially guessing your next immediate keystroke. But agentic behavior is proactive, it's holistic, and crucially, it has execution privileges.
Meaning it can actually do things.
Yes. It doesn't just look at the line you're on, it analyzes the entire code base structure. It can reason about how, say, a change in your database schema might inadvertently break a front-end component three layers up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then it can actually execute those changes across the entire stack.
So, to use an analogy, an autocomplete tool is like having someone holding the brick and the mortar for you while you build the wall.
I like that, yeah.
But an agentic tool is like it's looking at the blueprint, calculating the load-bearing requirements, and then just building the wall itself while you watch.
Precisely. And what's fascinating here is its omnipresence. Like, it's designed to weave itself right into the fabric of the tools you already use every day.
Meeting you where you are.
Exactly. It's available natively right in your terminal, which means it sits at the absolute foundation of your development environment. But, you know, if you prefer a graphical interface, it operates as an extension in VS Code or Cursor, giving you inline diffs and conversation history right there in the editor.
Which is super convenient.
Yeah. And there's a standalone desktop app for managing multiple complex sessions visually. It works directly in the browser, and there's even a plugin for JetBrains IDEs. It just meets you exactly where you're already comfortable.
And what really struck me in the Getting Started docs is the level of host operating system integration required to make that terminal presence work.
Oh, yeah. It gets deep.
Right. Like the deployment methods map out these really specific quirks for Windows users versus Mac users.
Yeah.
For instance, the docs mention that if you're installing on Windows and you see an error like the token is not a valid statement separator, that means you're in PowerShell, not CMD.
Yep, classic PowerShell quirk.
And for Mac users on Homebrew, there are two separate tracks, right? Like Claude Code for the stable version that's a week behind, and Claude Code at latest for immediate updates.
Yeah.
But the real takeaway here isn't the specific installation command.
Right, it's what that implies.
Exactly. It's that this AI has to possess deep OS level awareness to function. It has to know if you're on a Mac or a Windows machine because it's actively executing shell commands on your local hardware. It needs to know how file paths are formatted, how environment variables are set, how background processes are managed on your specific machine.
That's a really vital point. It is highly contextual to the environment. When you grant an AI the ability to run terminal commands, it isn't operating in some simulated sandbox anymore.
Right.
It is a native citizen of your operating system. And that level of integration allows for features like native auto-updating in the background for certain deployment tracks. So it ensures the agent is always running the latest reasoning models without you having to manually manage package versions.
Okay, but having all this localized OS level access is just the foundation, right?
Sure.
The real question for anyone listening is, once this thing has root access to your terminal, what happens when you actually turn it on? Because the list of tasks it's designed to handle reads exactly like my personal procrastination list.
It's taking on the maintenance burden, certainly. All those necessary but just incredibly tedious tasks that drain your creative energy.
Right. We're talking about like writing tests for completely undocumented legacy code.
Ah, the worst.
Fixing lint errors that are scattered across a massive monolithic project, resolving those awful merge conflicts, updating dependencies, even writing release notes.
Yeah.
It's like having a mechanic. But not a mechanic who just stands there and hands you a wrench when you ask for it. It's a mechanic who physically climbs under the hood, listens to the engine, diagnoses that weird rattling sound you've been ignoring for 3 months, and then just goes ahead and replaces the spark plugs across the entire engine block for you.
That is a great way to visualize the shift in responsibility. But to truly understand the power here, we have to look at the mechanism.
Okay.
Like, how does it actually fix those scattered linear errors or build a new feature? It uses what we call an agentic loop.
An agentic loop. So it's not just a single prompt and a single output.
Exactly. Let's say you paste a really cryptic error message into Claude Code. An autocomplete tool would just try to guess the code that might not cause that error.
Right.
Claude Code, on the other hand, starts a loop. First, it reads the error. Then it physically runs a search command in your terminal to trace where that error originates.
Yeah.
It identifies the root cause and writes a proposed fix. But it doesn't stop there. It then physically runs your test suite in the terminal. And if the tests fail, it reads the red error text, feeds that failure back into its context window, and rewrites the code based on that new information.
So it's iterating.
It repeats this loop, writing, testing, failing, learning, and rewriting until the terminal turns green.
That is incredible. It's mimicking the exact trial and error scientific method that a human developer uses. And the fact that it does all the Git housekeeping too just blows my mind.
Yeah, that saves so much time.
Like, once the terminal turns green, it stages the changes, writes the commit messages based on what it literally just did, creates the branches, and opens the pull requests.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, think about what that does to your day-to-day job. Your role fundamentally shifts. You transition from being primarily a code writer, you know, someone focused on syntax, semicolons, and bracket placement, to being a code reviewer and an architect. You are evaluating the logic, the security implications, and the structural decisions of the AI, rather than manually typing out the implementation details.
It's a massive elevation in leverage. But honestly, a tool that just aggressively edits files is incredibly dangerous if it doesn't know your specific architecture.
Oh, absolutely. It can make a huge mess.
Right. Like, every code base is weird. Every engineering team has their own quirky rules, their specific variable naming conventions, their architectural do's and don'ts that are usually, like, trapped in the head of a senior engineer who's been there for 5 years.
Yep.
How does a generalized AI model avoid completely wrecking a proprietary code base?
That is the critical hurdle for any AI tool operating at this level. You need robust guardrails, and Claude Code solves this by moving from a generic assistant to a tailored team member through a few key mechanisms. First, there's the Model Context Protocol, or MCP.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Because MCP isn't just a proprietary feature, right? It's an open standard.
Exactly.
Wait, so if MCP is an open standard, that means Claude isn't just trapped in the terminal code base. It's acting like a universal translator between all my different enterprise tools. I'm imagining like a hub and spoke model where the raw code is just one spoke on the wheel.
That is the perfect analogy. Because before standards like MCP, an AI was trapped in an isolated bubble. It only knew the exact text you pasted into the chat window.
Right.
But the Model Context Protocol is designed to securely connect AI tools to external live data sources. This means Claude Code can reach out and read your system architecture documents in Google Drive. It can fetch and update your active Jira tickets automatically. It can pull critical, real-time context directly from your team's Slack channels.
So let's say a product manager updates the acceptance criteria for a feature in a Jira ticket, or changes the spec in a Google Doc. Mm-hmm. The AI coding my feature locally in my terminal can actually be aware of that change before I even read the email about it. That is wild.
It completely breaks down the silos between your documentation, your team communication, and your code execution. The context just flows seamlessly between them.
But what about the code level rules?
Yeah.
Like, I might have a Jira ticket telling me what to build, but how does the AI know how my team specifically prefers to build it?
Right.
Like, say we have a strict preference for functional programming over object-oriented, or we use specific error handling libraries.
That localized knowledge is handled directly in the repository via a claude.ore.md file. You just drop this markdown file into your project's root directory, and Claude Code ingests it at the start of every single session.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, this is basically your architectural constitution. It's where you declare your hard coding standards, your preferred libraries, your database interaction rules, and your required review checklists.
It's basically a READ.me, but written specifically to give instructions to the machine rather than a human onboarding onto the project.
Yes. But even beyond what you explicitly write down in that file, the system utilizes something called auto memory.
Auto memory. Okay. How does that work functionally?
As Claude Code works alongside you, taking actions and seeing the results, it's constantly learning the unwritten nuances of your project. And it saves those learnings across sessions.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For example, if it notices you always run a specific complex bash script to spin up your local database before running tests, it remembers that. If it discovers a bizarre quirk in how your legacy API handles authentication, it stores that debugging insight. It builds this localized memory bank automatically without you having to explicitly document it.
It's like having a pair programmer sitting next to you who quietly jots down your favorite keyboard shortcuts and workflow quirks on a sticky note.
Exactly.
So next week, they never have to ask you how to run the dev server again. They just do it. That is incredibly powerful. It means the tool actually gets sharper and more attuned to your specific environment the longer you use it.
Precisely. And to tighten those guardrails even further, you can implement custom commands and hooks. You can package up a repeatable workflow your team uses all the time into a simple slash command.
Oh, like what?
Like typing review par to trigger a massive multi-step code review process. And the hooks allow you to automatically trigger shell commands before or after Claude Code acts. So you could set a hook to enforce your code formatter every time the AI edits a file, or force it to run a strict security linter right before it is allowed to stage a commit.
I love that.
You're defining the operational boundaries, and the AI is operating autonomously but safely within them.
But having all this localized automation and guardrails naturally forces us to look at how we orchestrate these tasks at scale. Because everything we've talked about so far, you know, the bug fixing, the Jira updating, the custom slash commands, it's mostly linear.
Right. One thing at a time.
Exactly. It's one agent doing one task at a time.
Right.
But when you have guardrails you trust, you can let off the brakes.
Yes. And this is where we move from managing a single assistant to orchestrating a virtual engineering team. We are talking about agent teams.
Hmm.
You are no longer limited to one thread of execution. You can spawn multiple Claude Code agents to work on completely different parts of a complex architectural shift simultaneously.
So let's walk through a real-world scenario here. Let's say I need to completely overhaul our user authentication system.
Okay, big job.
Right. I could have one agent working on rewriting the back-end database migrations, while another agent is simultaneously updating the front-end UI components to match the new login flow.
Exactly. And the crucial mechanism that makes this work is the lead agent. Think of it as your virtual engineering manager. You give the lead agent the massive overarching prompt, overhaul the auth system.
And it figures out the rest.
Yeah. The lead agent breaks that complex project down into discrete subtasks. It spawns the subagents, assigns them their specific scopes, and monitors their progress. If the backend agent makes a change to an API endpoint that breaks what the front-end agent is building, the lead agent detects that conflict, communicates the required changes between the subagents, and merges the final working results back together.
That is next level.
And for enterprise teams with highly specialized internal needs, there's actually an agent SDK. This allows you to build your own custom, internally hosted agents powered by the underlying engine, giving you total granular control over orchestration and system permissions.
That completely redefines project management. But what I also find brilliant is that it doesn't try to reinvent the wheel when it comes to terminal workflows. Like, it follows the classic Unix philosophy of being highly composable.
Yeah, it plays well with others.
It's not a closed proprietary black box. You can pipe raw terminal logs directly into it. If your server crashes and spits out 3,000 lines of stack trace, you just pipe that directly into the CLI agent and say, find the memory leak. You can run it inside your continuous integration pipelines, automating PR reviews, and issue triage through GitHub Actions or GitLab CI/CD. You can chain it together with grep, awk, or literally any other command line tool you already use.
It respects the existing ecosystem. It's a powerful citizen of the command line, not a walled garden.
Okay, but here's a question that naturally comes up when you have an AI capable of this much autonomous, orchestrated work.
Yeah.
If I have a lead agent managing a team of sub-agents doing a massive database migration, can this thing just work while I'm away from my keyboard, like while I'm sleeping?
It absolutely can. The framework supports scheduling recurring tasks, which are referred to in the docs as routines. Now, the key differentiator here mechanically is that routines run on Anthropic-managed infrastructure.
Meaning my laptop doesn't even need to be open, let alone awake.
Right. Because the execution environment is hosted in the cloud, it keeps working persistently. You can set a routine to run a comprehensive morning PR review across your entire organization before you even wake up.
That is amazing.
You can have it perform an overnight deep dive analysis of a complex, flaky CI failure that happens at 2 a.m. So the root cause diagnosis is literally just waiting for you with your morning coffee. It can run weekly dependency audits across 50 repositories or trigger automatically the moment a specific webhook fires from a GitHub event.
And what if you are working on highly sensitive code and you just don't want it running in external cloud infrastructure?
For that, you utilize desktop scheduled tasks. These run locally on your physical machine and have direct secure access to your local file system and internal corporate network.
Got it.
Or if you just need quick polling during a live active terminal session, there's a loop command. You can tell it to just run a script over and over until a specific condition is met, and it will just churn in the background of your terminal while you do something else.
So tasks can run overnight in the cloud. They can run locally on your desktop. They can be piped through CI pipelines. Since this execution is happening across so many different surfaces, how do you track it? Like, let's say I start one of those massive agent team refactoring jobs on my desktop, and then I need to immediately leave for the airport.
That brings us to the final major paradigm shift: true portability and the unbroken flow of context. The system is designed so that active sessions are not permanently tethered to a single physical surface.
The fluidity is amazing. Using a feature called remote control, you can literally dispatch a complex task from your phone while you're in the back of a cab. And then later, when you open the desktop app on your laptop, that exact session with all its context and execution history is right there waiting for you.
The mechanical handoffs between these environments are what make it seamless. Let's say you kick off a long-running cloud task on the web interface. You can walk back to your desk, open your terminal, and run a command called Claude Teleport.
Claude Teleport. I love that they lean into the sci-fi nature of what that command actually does.
It is remarkably descriptive because that command reaches out, grabs the entire state of that cloud session, and pulls it directly into your local command line interface.
That is so cool.
And it flows seamlessly in the other direction, too. If you are deep in a terminal session, reading through endless lines of refactored code, and you decide, hey, I need a clearer visual representation of the diffs before I approve this commit, you just type desktop.
Wow.
Yeah, that single command packages up the terminal session and hands it off straight into the standalone graphical desktop app for a side-by-side visual review.
And from the docs, it looks like you can even route tasks directly from your team communication platforms. Like, you can just at mention the AI in a Slack channel, drop in a vague bug report from a customer, and the system will pull the context, trace the error in the code base, write the fix, and literally reply in that exact same Slack thread with a link to the open pull request.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean? If you're listening to this, think about your current workflow. The traditional rigid walls between your mobile phone, your browser, your terminal, and your IDE are completely breaking down. The context of your engineering work is no longer trapped on one specific physical machine or in one specific application.
To synthesize all of this, what we are looking at isn't just a clever new extension to download to make typing faster. We are looking at a fundamental shift in the software development lifecycle itself.
Yeah.
Claude Code operates as a hyper-contextual collaborator. It values your time by automating the mundane, but it scales all the way up from simple pipe CLI commands to fully orchestrated multi-agent teams running autonomously across localized and cloud infrastructure.
It's an unprecedented level of leverage. Whether you're a junior dev staring down a massive undocumented legacy code base and using the agentic loop to safely explore how things work, or, you know, you're a senior engineer using agent teams to clear out a monstrous backlog of dependency updates without lifting a finger, the barriers to actually executing complex engineering tasks have just dramatically lowered.
Definitely.
You are truly moving from laying the bricks to architecting the building.
Which leaves us with a final thought to ponder as we wrap up this deep dive. This raises an important question.
Okay, let's hear it.
If an AI system can ingest a Jira ticket, consult your Google Drive architecture docs, navigate the code base, write the fix, resolve the merge conflicts, and open the pull request, all while you are literally asleep, how long until we completely stop measuring a developer's productivity by the lines of code they write and start measuring it entirely by the quality of the instructions, the architecture, and the boundaries they set for their AI teams?
A completely new era of software development. It makes you wonder what incredible things we'll be able to build when we finally put the bricks down and just focus on the blueprint.